Well, every once in a while, before we get into what I want to share with you this morning, and I know that probably most of you have dinner plans and all that kind of thing, so I'm not going to keep you long this morning. I'm even going to take, here we go. You guys were nervous, I could tell. All right, there's my watch. Now I can see what time it is, so don't get nervous. Every once in a while, I like to do what I call a public service. And that's what I'm going to offer to you men today. Even though this is Mother's Day, I want to offer something to you men. Because I think it's important. I feel that's a call on my life. Preach the word, help the guys. Because fellas, we are lost most of the time. Since it's Mother's Day, let's just come right out and say this. There are usually not many times when men shop for someone else. We will occasionally shop for our wives when they're mothers or for our moms. Outside of that, we don't usually do a whole lot of shopping. But let's face it, there have been plenty of times in our lives when we've received a somewhat tepid or frigid response to a gift that we've given. Maybe you've not dealt with that, but I've talked to enough men to know that there are times when you have to have a little bit of discernment and wisdom. So that's what I'm here today to help you with. Men, here are some things you never get your wife or your mother. You ready? Here they are. Boys, pay attention. You guys down here, you're not married. Tattoo this somewhere in your brain. You need to know this. Gifts you never get. Here's the first one. Never buy anything that plugs in. Ever. Because that's utilitarian. That's not a good gift. All right? Write these down. You think you know this, but you got to remember. Aaron, remember this. Never buy anything that plugs in. Second thing. Never buy clothing that involves sizes. Never do that. Because there is one in 10,000 times, men, that you're going to get it right. The other 9,999, she's angry. She's mad. Because she'll get something and go, do I look like a size 18 to you? That's one thing you're going to get if you buy too big. If you try to go the other way and go too small, they're going to say, I haven't worn a size 6 since I was 20. Either way, you're not going to get this. Are you paying attention? Listen. All right. Here's the third one. This one now, this dispels a rumor. You ready? Boys, never buy jewelry. Never buy jewelry. Because the jewelry that she wants, you cannot afford. And what you can afford, she doesn't want. Remember that. Here's the next one. Avoid all things useful. Men, a vacuum cleaner advertised to save time is not going to win you any brownie points. Ever. Nothing like that. Don't buy anything sports related. You give your wife a new putter or a new driver, she'll see through that quicker than you can make your first tee time. So just stay away from anything sports related. And then here's the last one. You may think it's good because the more money you spend, the better. That's not true. Don't spend too much. Because if you spend too much, what is she saying? How do you expect us to pay for this? That's what she says. And if you think you're smart and you go the other way, she's not going to say this, but she's going to look at it and go, so that's all I mean to him, huh? Boys, remember every single one of these. These are very important for your lives. Danny, you good? All right. That's a free public service announcement for every one of you. Did you get elbowed at any time, men, during any of this? You should have. Paul was sliding further and further down in the seat as I was going. I don't know. Okay. Just want to make sure. All right, enough of that. Turn your Bibles to the first book of Kings. 1 Kings, the third chapter. 1 Kings, for those of you that need some help, interestingly enough, is located just before 2 Kings. So there you go. That'll help a little bit. I want to talk to you about mothers here today just a little bit. And specifically a mother's sacrifice. It's a little bit of an unusual Mother's Day story, but stay with me. All right, I think you'll appreciate this. This is 1 Kings 3, starting in the 16th verse. Here's what it says. Now two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. Typical Mother's Day message, right? Yeah, stay with me. Two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house. I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There was no one in the house but the two of us. Verse 19. During the night, this woman's son died because she laid on him. So she got up in the middle of the night, took my son from my side while I, your servant, was asleep. She put him by her breast and put her dead son by mine. The next morning I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son that I had born. The other woman said, no, the living one is my son, the dead one is yours. The first one insisted, no, the dead one's yours, the living one's mine. And so they argued before the king. Verse 23, the king said, the one says, my son is alive and your son is dead, while the other says, no, your son is dead, mine is alive. Then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword for the king, and then he gave an order. He said, cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. The woman, whose son was alive, was filled with compassion for her son and said to the king, please, my lord, don't give her the living baby. Don't kill her, or give her the living baby. Don't kill him. But the other said, neither I nor you will have him. Cut him in two. Then the king gave his ruling. Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother. When all Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice. Now, we usually look at this story of Solomon as a shining example of the wisdom that God had given him. If you go to the first 15 verses of that same chapter, it's where Solomon has a vision or a dream from God that comes, and God says to him, you remember, he said, Solomon, what do you want? I'll give you anything. Blank check. You write what you want, it's yours. Now, we all would like to think that we would have made the same answer that Solomon did. But the reason that Solomon was so anointed by God was because of the character that he had. And you know what his answer was. He came to God and said, God, I just want wisdom. I want to make sure that I'm the very best king that I can be in order to lead your people. And then, of course, God said, good answer. And beside that, you're going to get everything else. I'm going to give you the fame. I'm going to give you the glory. I'm going to give you the wealth and all of those things. But there's another story here that I want us to look at this morning. And it's not your traditional Mother's Day story, but I think it's a very important one. Because this is not about your typical TV 1950, 1960s mom, if you remember those. Remember, the ladies that are vacuuming with a pleated skirt and a beautiful blouse, and they're wearing pearls, and their hair and their makeup is all perfectly done, and they're singing as they're vacuuming. That's not reality. At least not the reality I know. Maybe you live in a different house than I do. I talk real tough when Katarina's not in the room, don't I? That's actually not true. But that's not what we're talking about today. This is not about perfection. It's not about something idyllic. And as a matter of fact, the two mothers we read about this morning, they could not be further from that. And yet, watch what took place. So what do we know about these two women? Well, right there in the 16th verse, we read immediately, they're prostitutes. Now, prostitution in the day that that was written was still something that was looked at with a measure of disdain, but it was still tolerated. And it was tolerated in that culture because you have to remember, men made all the rules. So you figure out the connection with that, why they didn't do away with that. So these two women live in the same house, we read. We read that they both have had children now that were born of men that they would have slept with at another time, but these men were not a part of their lives. And once again, remember, in that culture day, a woman without a man was less than a person in that culture. Very different. And so we look at this, and you can see that the issues that they're dealing with is much more than just having a child and whose it belongs to. These women are dealing with a culture that wants nothing to do with them. Not only do they work in an industry that most people would turn away from, but they're single mothers. They have no man to represent them. Now, again, that's hard for us to wrap our minds around, but that was the culture of the day. But you see, a woman would also become a prostitute for other reasons as well. Sometimes she was a slave girl. And the master, this would have been a nation they would have conquered, and they would have taken all of the people from that nation. And so sometimes the women that a man might own as his slaves, he would use them as prostitutes. Sometimes they were women whose husbands had died. And they were widows, and they had no other means to support themselves. This is why Jesus had such compassion on widows and orphans. those that were destitute according to the culture of that day. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 12:40, Jesus is saying to the Pharisees and Sadducees, he says, "You devour widows' houses, and for a show you make lengthy prayers. These men, or you men, will be punished most severely." Jesus had compassion on those that found themselves in a very difficult place. But in that day, prostitution was sometimes the only way that these women could survive. But here's one thing that's certain as we read this story. Nothing's improved for these women. Nothing has gotten better. As we look at Mother's Day today, in that culture, to have children was the single most important thing a woman could do in that day. You remember the story of Abraham and Sarah, and how Sarah was so distressed as her time went on in her life and she could not bear a child for Abraham, and the story that took place there. And so for these women to have a child, you would think, well, that's great for them. But once again, the fact was, is that they were doing this without the covering of a husband in their lives. So they come before the king and they plead their case. And again, as you look at this story, it's a strange one, but you have to remember, the mothers and the children would sleep in the same bed together. There weren't separate rooms. You couldn't send a kid to his room. You send a kid to your room. Well, that wouldn't work. But what happened was, is that the baby's laying in the bed, and the story is that the mother in the middle of the night rolled over and suffocated her son. And when she woke up, she snuck into the other room, and she switched the babies and came back and took the live child for herself. And that's the story that we come to this morning as we look at Mother's Day. And you're going, Pastor, aren't there other stories that would be nicer to talk about? Well, the reason that I took this morning is because I want you to understand what it was that Solomon did in a way that showed not only he had great wisdom, but he had great compassion and he had great love. You see, there was no reason that these women should have been able to get in front of Solomon. They were considered the lowest on the totem pole of culture. Solomon obviously sat at the top rung. This was the king. And yet for some reason, we come into this story where these two women are coming before the king to plead their case. And church, I believe that is such a picture for what the church needs to be today. This is who we need to be as a church. We need to be a people that are compassionate for those that are hurting. You see, I want Remnant Life Church to grow. But you got to watch this now. You see, I want us to grow by way of people that are coming to know who Jesus is, not by disgruntled Christians going from one church to another because they're not happy where they are. That's the way churches grow. It's called conversional growth and transfer growth. I want us to have people come that have never heard about who Jesus is. They're messy. They're sloppy. They say stuff they shouldn't. They're talking about doing things later on, and you're going, oh, I don't know if you should be talking about that in church. Well, you know what? That's who we want at this place. We want people coming here that need to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. That's who I want Remnant Life to be, to welcome anybody that wants to come. And see, Solomon shows that by how compassionate he was to these two women who should never have been even allowed to get in front of him. That's the heart of Jesus. And church, I can tell you that people are going to come to know who Jesus is, not by a pastor's preaching, not by a worship team playing, not by a church building, not by giving money in an offering box. People are going to come to know who Jesus Christ is by you, by your example, by your compassion, by the love that you demonstrate every single day to somebody that really probably, if you look at the grand scheme of things, really don't deserve it. Did we deserve to be loved by Jesus? Did we deserve this morning to be saved from our sins? And see, so many times you hear us say here at Remnant Life that one of the most important things that you can do as a Christian is not read your Bible, not pray, not go to church. Are those important? Yes, they are. The most important thing you can do is demonstrate Jesus Christ by how you live your life. That's what matters. And that's why we honor our moms, because of the sacrifices that they have given to each of us for the things that they have done. Now, just as these women were not perfect, I'm about to let you in on something here. You may not like this. There's no such thing as a perfect mom either. I know, hard to believe. No such thing as a perfect mom. This situation is far from perfect that we're reading this morning. We've got two women who are or have children out of wedlock. We have two women that have no man in their life. We have one woman who's heartbroken because her son has died. Another woman who has had a baby kidnapped now. And both of them in a situation that isn't going to get any better. And I understand too, church, that sometimes Mother's Day isn't easy for people. Sometimes when we lose, and we've been praying for Faith and for Dave, and again, while they're rejoicing at cookies being released, losing your mom is something that you, I don't think you ever totally recover from. It's a piece of you. I know my mother-in-law, Lorraine, her mom's been gone now for quite a few years, and I know you miss her just as much as the day she left. You never recover from that totally, so I realize there's some struggle with that. Sometimes there's folks that have had bad relationships with their mother. It's been tough. It's been a struggle. And then certainly I know that there are women who have the desire to be able to be a mom has never been fulfilled. But you know what goes over all of that? Is the fact that Jesus Christ, in his love for us and the Heavenly Father, knew what our lives were going to be. And not one moment of that has been wasted or out of his will for you. Can you explain that? No, can't always explain it. But I know that my God is greater than anything that happens in my life. He's greater than any pain that I have suffered. He's greater than any wound that may have taken place. And if I just simply lay that before him, he promises to come, and his blood is sufficient to cover that, to bring peace into our lives. But just as Solomon had wisdom for his people, he also had a great love. And what I want us to look at just this morning very quickly is that Solomon demonstrated that gift of love for the people around him. And so what I want to know this morning is, again, very quickly, how do we demonstrate those same gifts? They're very simple. I don't have to look them up, but here's what they are. Here's the first thing. Give your life over to God anew every single day. Every day. I think it's a great habit to get into that when you get up in the morning, I mean, you don't have to kneel down by your bed for an hour. Now, if that's your habit, if that's what you do, good, keep doing that. But all sometimes you need to do is just as you're driving to work, Father, I pray that everything that I do and everything that I say today will bring glory to you. That's a great prayer to start the day. Everything that I do, everything that I say will bring glory and honor to you. Give your life, give your heart, give your day to the Father every single day. And church, watch what he'll do. Watch the opportunities that he's going to give you to be able to act and to behave and to speak in a way that brings glory to him. Second thing I think you should do, look for an opportunity to share his love. Look for those opportunities. How many times have you been doing something in the course of your day and you get to somewhere else and you're thinking and you go, oh man, I could have said this. I could have done that. If I'd thought about it, man, that person needed prayer. I could have prayed for them. Church, always be ready for those opportunities. God is always bringing those things into our paths. You go, well, Pastor Dave, what if it's in the middle of a grocery store? The carts will go around you. They can get past you in the aisle. It's okay. It's okay to pray for somebody in a place where you don't normally pray. It's okay to stop and to give somebody an encouraging word. It's okay to help somebody in need just because they need help. And I know the hearts of so many of you in here, and I know that's how you are, but I want to encourage you, always be looking for those opportunities. And then here's the last one. Finally, I want you to learn one of the great secrets of life that I think could go a long way to helping you be a good mom, be a good dad, or just be a good person. You ready? Here it is. Don't take everything so seriously. Don't take everything so seriously. And you know what especially that's true for? Yourself. Stop taking yourself so seriously, church. As you know, I've performed hundreds and hundreds of weddings. We got one coming up here soon, don't we? When is the day so I should be there on time? Well, August 11th. Okay, I'll make sure I'm trying to be there for that. Rox and Vance are getting... Yeah, I'll be there, I promise. There's only three people that have to be there, and they're all right here, so... But Rox and Vance are going to be getting married soon. And so at weddings, I often share something with the couple, and it changes. But one of the things I often tell them is three things. Number one, always think the best of each other. Number two, laugh a lot. And number three, don't sweat the small stuff. You know what, church? That's a great way for each and every one of us to live in the Lord every single day. Just relax. Don't take everything so seriously. Don't think everything is just the world and the moon and the sun and the stars are revolving around what happens in my life right now. No, they're not. The only thing that we need to be concerned about is, how is it that I'm living my life right now to the glory of Jesus Christ? And you know what? Just because someone else is worked up and upset by something doesn't mean that I have to come and play. What's that saying go? Your emergency doesn't constitute my problem. Something like that. Your emergency doesn't mean it's a problem for me. Now, folks, I'm not talking about not being compassionate. We do need to give an ear, to give a heart to somebody that's hurting. But boy, just relax. And you know why we want to do that? Because I believe that we have been given the blessing and the privilege of living in the joy of the Lord every single day. I think we need more Christians that are smiling and laughing a lot more than they're frowning and upset. I think we need more Christians that are willing just to go, you know what, that's okay. That's okay. We need more Christians that are bringing light into a place instead of darkness. And folks, that all takes place by your countenance. What is your countenance? It's the presence of Jesus Christ in your life. So can I encourage you the next time that you're ready to get all worked up about something that you just take a breath and say, the joy of the Lord is my strength, so I can be strong in this, in His joy. To have a laughter. Proverbs tells us, it says what? A merry heart does good like what? Like medicine. It helps you to feel better when you've got a heart that's filled with joy. You go, Pastor Dave, I've got some really hard things going on in my life. I understand that. And again, walking around with joy in your life doesn't mean you got a goofy grin on your face and nothing matters and who cares. No. You got to live life. You got to be sensible. Common sense is a good thing. That's a spiritual gift, I think, and we all need it. But what it does mean is I'm not going to let the circumstances of my life dictate who I am. I'm a child of God. I'm forgiven. I have a place in glory with Him. And until that time, I am going to do everything I can to spread joy, happiness, goodness, and His presence everywhere that I go. You know, in Exodus 10, Moses receives the Ten Commandments. And when he got those commandments, there were 10 things that God gave him as a way for the people to live. 9 of those were what I call straight directives. Do this, don't do that. 9 of them. But the 10th one was different. The 10th one had a promise that was given with it. And it's found in the 12th verse. Here's what it says. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live a long life in the land the Lord your God has given you. If you honor your father and your mother, the Bible says you'll live a long life. Now that life doesn't have anything to do with years. It has to do with what it is that you're going to be able to experience in your life. And much of that begins with the blessing of God when we honor our mothers and we honor our fathers. Well, today we're honoring our moms. And I just want to thank each and every one of you ladies here for being faithful to your children. None of them look the same as far as what you've done. Some of you are talking about, maybe you're considering having children down the road. Some of you are going, you know, Pastor Dave, I'm probably going to get married first. That's a good idea. Go ahead and do that. Get married first. But all of these things serve as a way for us to understand what it means to live a life for Jesus Christ. I'm very blessed. My mother is listening to this probably sometime Monday. She listens to us. Supports our church, and I'm blessed. I love you, Mom, with all my heart, and I know each and every one of you here have memories of your mom that I'm sure are a blessing to you, but whatever those may be, just take a moment today and thank God for your mom. Let's pray together. Well, Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you this morning that we have been able to come, and we have been able to open your word and to look and to understand what it means to appreciate our mothers. And even by the story this morning, God, and yes, Solomon used great wisdom. The true mother sacrificed, was willing to sacrifice, giving up her son in order to keep him safe. And Father, that's the heart of the mothers, God, that have blessed each and every one of us, sacrificing so much, the vast majority of the time we never even know what it is that has taken place. But God, we know that it is through them that you gave us life. And so, Lord, we honor each and every mother, wherever they may be. Many of them, God, are in glory with you right now. And so, Father, I thank you for the legacy that they have left in our lives. And I pray, God, that each and every one of them would know how much we love them and how important they are to us. And so, Father, we give you all the glory for each and every one of them. And I pray, God, that as we leave this place today, that you would go before us, Lord, and as we go about going out to dinner, whatever it is that we're going to do, that we would just keep in mind, Lord, that we are so blessed. We have such privilege, God, and to live in this nation, and we pray blessing over our nation, but God, to know that in this place, Lord, we should be walking around with hearts filled with gratitude. Forgive us for complaining, Father. Forgive us for always looking at the dark side of things. And Father, I pray that in that people would see you and us. Bless each and every person here. Bless every family that's represented. And I pray now, God, as we go from this place, that when we come back together again, that we would look forward to once again worshiping you with all that we are. It's in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray all of these things together. Amen.